G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3 for Ball Don't Lie Australia, brought to you by PCR Maps and, of course, the local card shop of Woolloongabba / Mermaid Beach. Today's show is a little bit of a World Cup wrap-up and a look forward in some ways with the Boomers to the Paris Olympics. And, of course, we'll also throw in a little bit of a NBL blitz early prediction, but I need somebody to do that with, and today he returns, the Crack'em King himself, after his time in, oh, let's call it exile, because that's what you do with kings. Put him in exile. He's back, Anthony Kopskis. Mate, welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back. How you doing, Mal?
Oh, great as always, mate. Great as always. You know, even after a disappointing World Cup from certain points of view, I'm still pretty great. Well, of course, the Boomers didn't get anywhere near where we wanted them to. America got as close as, you know, they kind of needed to put together a superstar roster for the Olympics. But we will get a little bit more into that as we go. But Germany wins. And it wasn't just done by having a big Wagner and a, you know, sharp and confident Schroeder. This thing was a team effort.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see the, like, some of the impacts that other players had compared to, like, the NBA guys, because Mo Wagner barely played in that game from what I saw. Across the board, they just, like, you kind of forget how good some of those European guys are, and especially since they've been playing together for a while, the chemistry is just there.
Yeah, it almost sort of, in a lot of ways, there was a lot of shades to almost an older Boomers style setup with a couple of, you know, sprinkling of NBA talented guys and other guys who knew their role and stepped into that role, and they worked really well chemistry-wise. Whereas Boomers this time around, it just feels like we're still mixing things. We're not quite sure of the chemical makeup and different things like that, but this German team, they were quite good down the stretch. And Schroeder, of course, you know, stepping out, FIBA Patty-esque in a FIBA Schroeder, a little bit different to an NBA Schroeder that we've seen, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He was the class of the tournament. Look, there was obviously, you got your Shea and your Luka, and they're doing incredible things. But I feel like Schroeder did it a bit more efficiently and on both ends. Like, he was just, he didn't have to have the ball the whole time, and just kind of came off things, and yeah, really made it difficult for anyone, especially in a very switching heavy competition, to guard him out on the perimeter. So every time they had those, every time they got those switches with the bigs, their bigs just could not keep up. And we saw it in our game against him as well. He got to the rim with reckless abandon.
Yeah. It basically just felt as if he would just take a bit of a parabolic arc, you know, just go really wide and then cut back aggressively, and was able to get around high-level defenders for everybody. And they only really had the one dippy game where he shot 4 from 26, I think. It wasn't his best shooting night, for sure. But, across the tournament, absolute banger. And, really great to see for someone who's been in the, you know, the basketball spotlight for not always the best reasons, with the just bag of cash that let the Lakers keep, absolute bag, and then went on to sort of almost prove that the Lakers took a misstep there with his next couple of steps, but they eventually got him back for an absolute pittance in the Lakers, and now he's off to the Raptors, and they've got to be feeling confident. But look, tell you what, if you're looking for someone who's confident in the basketball world now, anybody who's a fan of Serbia has got to be feeling pretty good, because they got themselves to the final and they haven't even got their big piece in the Joker to really step into this team for next year in the Olympics. So, look.
Yeah, that will be a lot of fun. Him and Bojan, will be, yeah, really, really fun watching them play in the pick and roll.
Yeah, it should be absolutely scary. They've got a really solid team. They seem to get, effectively, they got to the final with basically ease. Without making a whole lot of noise, didn't really need to, didn't really need to go past America or anyone like that. So they were able to get there. While they had some difficult games, they really showed off their depth and how much of a quality side they've got. And Olympics wise, yeah, look, they're going to be a problem. They're going to be a massive problem. Bronze medal, yeah, though.
There's a lot of parity across the countries. Obviously, when US, if they bring in the big guns, like they're talking, like they will, a little less parity. But there's a lot of good teams. Like Australia's got a lot of NBA guys, but doesn't mean that we're going to be the best team. As like Germany, Spain. France had a horrible tournament and they'll be better at the Olympics. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of other countries that from the Europeans that will be really tough.
Yeah, and that's the trick. There's, you know, the Olympics, you know, that's the one Jimmy Butler cares about. That's the one all the Americans care about. That's the one the whole world really focuses in on, is that basketball tournament. But, look, it'll be interesting to see who's going to be healthy, which teams step up. But it's going to be these Germany, Serbia-style teams that have got that chemistry really locked in and role players locked into their spots and can go deep when they need to, and everyone down the line knows what they need to do. Canada, though. Canada-America. Bronze medal game. Canada just really felt like they had this one. And then, Mikal Bridges. Now, for mind, he stepped over the free throw line early, right? Like, you know.
I honestly didn't watch it back with enough detail. I was just flummoxed and having flashbacks of Jacka's past.
Wow, that was my first thought. When we were talking off air, to kill a mockingbird stuff, right? Like, you know, yeah, late in the game.
I think we get royalties on that as well. I'm pretty sure the Americans have to pay us some money for that one.
Oh, look, and for those who aren't aware, just walk us through the Tequila Mockingbirds version or the original.
Do you want the glory or the Tolo missed the first free throw and could have just made both? But we're down two with 3 seconds left. And Adam Tolo gets to the free throw line, misses the first one, and obviously after that we needed a miss. He rims it off the front right side, bounces to the short corner, sprints over, grabs it, and it was like it was in slow motion, fade away over the defender's hand to tie up the game and take us to overtime. Very similar to Mikal Bridges, but from a deep two rather than a three.
It was, look, they were both genuinely gorgeous to watch. It definitely took me back to a certain Grafton basketball carnival. And then was that the year that then you guys then made the final and then ruined Jacka forever? Or was that a different?
No, that was a different.
That was a different.
Yeah, that was in the final.
That was it. Yes. I remember. So, now, because we were playing actually in a C grade grand final with, let's say, a robust number of supporters, which we won. Thanks in no small part at all to one Macca McIntyre, that's for sure. And then we popped in to catch the last of it. And, that turns out the Mockingbirds had, secured all of our fan base. And everyone was in there watching that, including myself at that point. I think I was standing behind, would have been, I think, Zoe Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, and it was, yeah, It was just a weird and wonderful, there's no way, and then the totally was. It was absolutely amazing. But, yeah, it brought USA back, but Shea just shut Canada down in this one when they actually got to overtime.
Yeah,
they had no chance.
He took over. Yeah. Incredible. Like, pretty excited for what OKC can be this year from him and Giddy, from their showing in this World Cup.
Yeah, it's funny though, isn't it? How some players will really have a standout season, standout, you know, tournament in the World Cup, and you're like, yep, that's that, of course that's going to translate to the NBA game, and then others like Schroeder, and it's like, he's had an absolutely amazing World Cup, but is that going to translate to the NBA? It's
some Evan Fournier vibes.
Yeah, little bit.
What was that, the Olympics that he had? I think he averaged like 20 something a game and got them to the final, and yeah, and then came out and didn't play for the Knicks.
Yeah. It wasn't great. But then of course you've got Dylan Brooks, same sort of thing.
Yeah,
has had genuinely an amazing tournament.
He was fantastic.
He really was. It was as if he was actually the guy that he was spruiking he was at the end of during the playoffs of the last NBA season. He actually played like the guy he was talking like he was back then. But unfortunately, back then he wasn't playing like he was in the World Cup. It was it was next level. It was like, okay, who this guy?
What are your thoughts? Have you has his stock improved? Do you like him a bit more now, or what are we thinking comes out of this?
It's really tough. You look at him and he had a great World Cup. You can't, anyone who says he didn't, just incorrect. He's going to Houston. I fear for the rookies. I fear for some of those rookie players who are Rockets players who are going to now experience full-blown, Dylan Brooks. It's genuinely going to be interesting. I do love it when players get themselves a reputation and then really turn that around. I just get the feeling he won't be able to stop himself from being himself.
Yeah.
In that sense. I think his mouth's going to just write checks that he won't be able to cash down the line. But that's the Dylan Brooks we've seen. Maybe maybe he's learned that lesson. You occasionally see it.
It doesn't mean it's going to carry over at all. Like exactly how we were talking about Schroeder's game carrying over, whereas like at the Olympics, at the World Cup, he was he talked a little bit, but not much. And then the wayward shots that he would take for Memphis, he wasn't taking for Canada. Like the shots that he took were good in rhythm, open shots, or he found himself to the hoop, or like made the extra pass rather than what we'd seen out of him in Memphis. So I don't know if that was a lot of growth or it was the situation that he was in. But yeah, you could hold a bit of hope if you're a Houston fan, if Ime Udoka can get through to him and he can play like the way that he did, especially like you look and he on their biggest stage, like in the bronze medal match against arguably the best team, especially the best wing defenders, and he has 39 points on incredible efficiency.
Yeah, look, there is some hope. But the problem is these villain style guys who come out and run their mouths don't tend to turn that part of their game around.
And I think he'll continue to talk. Maybe he didn't talk quite as much because the Europeans don't talk quite as much. And no one was really throwing shit back at him.
maybe. It was all about landing those body blows, not going for the knockout punches. But, mate, Obviously, you know, America, you know, they, again, fourth place, again, at the World Cup. They don't seem to care. And then all of a sudden, when they then don't medal, all of a sudden they really do care. There's just too much money on the line for these players, isn't there? Like, they're just risking so much, and that's effectively the problem. And unless there's something, a real carrot they want to go after, like an Olympic gold medal, and even then for some, it's not enough of an enticement when you've got generational wealth that they're risking for a FIBA World Cup.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. Like, you see what happened with Dante a few years ago, and the same with like Paul George, who has had quite a good career even after he had that horrific leg injury and stuff like that. But it's still, yeah, you're risking injury. But I don't know, if I was in that situation, I feel like I would be playing, because I have a lot of pride in my country, and that's what you see in all the other countries. It's not America. All their guys are first person at the door to play for their country. You know?
Yeah. And look, not everyone, you know, not everyone has like the boomer situation where we've genuinely struggled. And was it this year they basically donated all their, all the players donated their money back into the Basketball Australia system, which is, you know, lovely. Not everyone has that commitment level from their players. A lot of countries do. America just doesn't. I'm in the same boat as you. I'd like to think if I was in that position, chance to play for my country would supersede pretty much everything. But, you know, we are talking about a lot of money. There is risk. And for some of them, it's just too great. And, you know, considering what, you know, so the backgrounds that some of these players are coming from, this is not just their ticket out of bad situations, this is their family's ticket out of, you know, some really financially poor situations. So it's tough, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
The upside is we're going to get, so by the looks of it, in the last couple of days, we're going to possibly get another Redeem Team style documentary coming out in a few years, because it sounds like everybody's lining up to play for the USA Olympic team again, which, hey, I like it.
Yeah.
I don't love it from a boomer's actual gold point of view, but, you know, I do like it when they genuinely bring their absolute best.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see. Bring a bit of fanfare and probably some more attention to the, like, to basketball again. As much as we're still growing, but, you know, when the 92 Dream Team, that happened, like, basketball fanfare went crazy worldwide, and the same with, like, the Redeem Team and stuff like that. And just kind of spark a little fire under the basketball community. So it should be really exciting, and then to see them come up against like some of these teams that have just beaten them in the World Cup, it will be very interesting.
Yeah, look, and as you say, it does have an effect on other countries, because, you know, those other countries' players are then like, all right, you know, that's where the bar has been set, and they then re-chase those levels of basketball. But the fanfare and, you know, the people who tune in to watch and all that kind of stuff, like the kids, put on a spectacle. You know, that's the future of it. And 1992, I still remember tuning in to the Barcelona Olympics and getting very small glimpses of this, of the Dream Team. And, you know, that was it. I was hooked after that. That was, you know, they were the guys that I always wanted to tune into. And you know, from that, it was hooked. So hopefully, if nothing else, they send a good team, has a bit of star power. Love to see them still lose, just on the quiet. You know, absolutely love seeing a team like Germany get it done. A team that doesn't necessarily have absolute, you know, rock stars, doesn't need it, just has a solid system and works that through. Fantastic. But same time, give me some star power. Give me a team that I'm like, you guys are just too good. I want to root for every single team that plays against you, sort of thing. That's what I'm looking for. But at the end of the day, they're probably going to send so many genuine stars that Steve Kerr won't be able to help himself and will get himself to that gold medal once more. Now, just before we do move on from World Cup stuff, what are your thoughts on what do the Boomers need to do before Paris?
Well, the thing that I noticed that we were definitely lacking is shooting. Like, we've got a lot of our young guys, like your Giddies and Dyson and your Josh Green, Matisse, they're all not super reliable shooters. Whereas, like, the European teams that are being successful in this tournament, they have, like, one or two NBA guys that really create, and then they've got a bunch of guys that can really finish off plays. And that's kind of what we were missing a little bit. And I think Joe Ingles had a really bad tournament, and I don't think he'll be as bad going into the Olympics. Hopefully he'll shoot a bit better. And kind of, he was either in between like rushing shots in trans, or he was taking way too much time and looking off stuff. So I'm confident he will figure it out and be a bit better come the Olympics, and that'll make a huge difference to how we go going forward. But Josh Green seemed to come along a lot, so hopefully he will make an impact. And obviously, bringing Jock back in will hopefully fix a lot of things.
Yeah, and potentially a slightly tweaked ankle there for Josh Green earlier in the tournament.
I'd be interested to see what they do with that, like the Chris Goulding kind of spot as well. With you could look into your Dijon Vasiljevic's, or even bring along young Tyrese Proctor out of Duke. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. I don't see if Bubbles is just going to be sitting there not playing. Why they wouldn't throw a young guy a bone and see if they can bring something into the tournament a bit more.
Well, that was basically a big point of the show last week, was me thinking along those exact same lines with Bubbles. Yes, definitely deserves that, one last dance, if you will, but they're just going to leave him on the bench, then surely we can do, we have enough depth to do some other things. So. All right, that will wrap up World Cup chat for this time around, and can't wait for the next one. But Olympics will obviously be our next big international FIBA style tournament, but still not for a little bit yet. Can't wait though. Can't wait. Should be amazing.
Yeah, not too far away.
The NBL One Blitz is kicking off this weekend. I'll be there for the last evening. Next Friday, we've got the Bullets and the Kings, and I think we've also got the Taipans versus the Illawarra Hawks, I believe, is on that night. So it should be two good games. But mate, who you got a feeling about coming into this NBL One Blitz? Who is the team that you most go, ooh, I'm interested?
I mean, I can't go past the local team. The Bullets preseason so far has been really, really exciting. I don't think they've played against full strength teams, but they've looked really good, and the imports seem to be to be finding their feet and finding their roles. And yeah, it's just, I'm tempering expectations as we discussed, but it's fun and exciting to watch them play with a bit more control and a bit better kind of, just kind of a bit more structure and finally have that like pure point guard that can run the show, rather than the kind of tweener guys that we've had the last few years.
Yeah, and a little bit of consistency in the coach's chair. Yeah, it'll also
That would be nice to see, yeah.
Yeah. Well, won't go astray, so.
Yeah. You know. No, but very excited to see. Like, obviously, they had a good blitz last year, and then it doesn't really give you, I don't know, a valid way to judge how they're going to go for the season. Well, I think
it's still preseason games. Like, yeah, you know, they're slightly more fancy. There's a bigger carrot to win, but they are still preseason games, so they're still technically don't really count for anything. But they do give an interesting insight into what teams have got looking, what looks we might see. Down the stretch and things like that.
Yeah, so. I'm excited to see the next, like some of the next stars look very exciting, like your Trent Flowers and Alex Saar at Perth. He just had two tremendous games at the against the G League, but obviously they're not, like the physicality and stuff is not there in the G League Ignite compared to what you're going to see facing like your Aaron Baines's and the like. So it'll be interesting to see how he physically keeps up. And then, I don't know, I really like, I'm running it back with New Zealand. I really like how they're kind of shaping up there. We'll see if they hit on their import trio again, like they did so well last year. But yeah, it'll be cool. Cairns is also one to watch, I think.
Yeah, look, and I think a really interesting one is going to be the Kings. Obviously, different coach. Xavier Cooks is gone. Bales, Vasiljevic, Derek Walton Jr., Justin Simon. Like, you've got some changes there. Still the champs, technically.
I like their chances.
Jalen Adams coming back. Denzel Valentine. DJ Hogg. Jonah Bolden. It's just going to be really interesting to see how exactly that all fits together. You know, because obviously they're coming off two chips. The third with a very different crew. Obviously, there's still elements of it still there, but you got a different coach, you got different, you know, very different looks. Love the idea of it in some ways. But yeah, look, just going to be really interesting. So look, I'll tip them. Can't have two guys both jumping on the Bullets bandwagon, you know. Especially not this early in the season.
Definitely not.
Especially after last season as well, when I think everyone who came through the pod was like, oh, these Bullets, they're going to be amazing. And then wasn't the season to remember. For positive reasons.
Anyway. But yeah, from what I've heard, a lot more structured, a lot more like the roles are very structured and kind of defined. And what expectations are of each player. So that typically results in a better run of things. So hopefully that's that coaching change will make a big difference. And there's obviously like a lot of player change as well in that team. So we can just wait and see. But yeah, on the Kings, it'll be really interesting to see how they go going forward this year. Like Jonah Bolden's had a bit of a break from basketball. So it'll be one of those things where I think he'll start to come on later in the year. Like, he'll do okay, but watch for him a bit later in the year. And so he had a bit of an injury-plagued season last year. So it'll be good to see him on a NBL court and just wait and see if he's got his feet from day dot or if he's a bit of growing pains there.
At the very least, at the absolute very least, you've got to think the Sydney Kings this season are going to have way less tech fouls from the coaching staff. You've got to think.
You'd think so.
You've got
I think from what we saw, he's a pretty, like the new coach is pretty level headed, right?
Look, compared to Chase Buford.
I mean, yeah.
Compared to Chase Buford, Bruce Leonard was pretty level-headed. You know what I
mean? Like a lion's pretty level-headed.
But look, we'll just have to wait and see. But Now that the full roster is fairly well set there, I'm a lot more positive on the Kings. I do agree with you on the Bullets, but I'm very much taking a let's wait and see how it goes. You know, to take a deep breath, let the hype build. And that way, if there is, if by chance there is disappointment later on down the season, I'm not completely heartbroken 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see all the next stars, especially our Aussie guys in Alex Tui in Sydney and Taron Armstrong in Cairns. Aaron has had like a really good 2 year stint over in college, and yeah, I think he could be pretty special playmaker, especially in the NBL. And then quick shout out to Lithuanian next star over in New Zealand, Rubstafikas. So gotta give my Lithuanian heritage a quick shout out.
Ah, yes, that Lithuanian heritage that comes out every every time the Eurovision's on. It's always great to see.
Very well. Yeah. Yep. And then when the Aussies got knocked out of the World Cup, I was cheering along, but unfortunately, the Lithuanians came up a little shy.
Yeah, it's all good, mate. It's all good. All right, it's that time of the show again where we get to crack open a pack of cards from the local card shop of Woolloongabba / Mermaid Beach, get into a bit of Crack'em with the Crack'em King himself. And this time round, we've got a pack of NBL tops, NBL stuff this time, that league we love, that sweet, sweet D. But this time we're bringing it forward in time a little bit. This one, these packs are from the 2022-2023 season.
So, ooh, some freshies.
Yeah, some freshies. Not the chromes. They are coming. We've got the chrome ones coming. Okay. But these are just the straight regular ones, not the shiny ones.
Okay,
still,
beggars can't be choosers.
Still good cards. Yeah. All right, let's get stuck in. Now, for those who haven't played before, I read the back of the card. Whenever we get to the player's name, I say somebody, and it's Ant's job to jump in whenever he can. He is normally pretty good at this. But
Macca was really good last week, actually. I was rather impressed.
Macca was not bad. He was not bad, was he? So, yeah, look, I'll pass on that positive word. I'm sure he'll be listening. But if just in case on the rare opportunity isn't, I'll let him know that you said it in a really snarky way.
He'll probably think I'm trying to get into his head or something.
Mate, you live there rent-free. Not a problem. All right, first card for the Perth Wildcats. Somebody successfully returned to the Wildcats last season after missing 2021 with an Achilles injury. The 2'10 centre started 15 games in NBL 22.
It's Majok, right?
Majok is correct.
There you go.
Straight out of the gate.
I didn't think he was 210 centimetres. Just throwing that out there.
Look, you know, sometimes there's errors on the cards. Sometimes the NBA heights are listed.
Look, yeah, the players wear heels, apparently.
All right. Card number two. Sydney-born somebody played 3 years at Florida State before averaging 13.5 points and 10.3 rebounds for California Baptist School, where he was also the blocks leader in the Western Athletic Conference. After college, he played professionally for the first time with Nymburk in the Czech Republic in 2022. He plays above the rim due to his 7'4" wingspan. Four.
Is that a Cairns player, perchance?
Well, for the Brisbane Bullets.
Oh.
For the Brisbane Bullets.
Bullets, who just got back from college.
Yeah, last season. Last season.
Why can't I think of a Bullets player?
GG.
Oh, Gorjak Gak.
That's the one.
I was thinking of Sam Wardenberg for some reason, but yeah, I'll take it if you're giving out clues.
All right, next card. Card number three. A North Bears junior in Sydney before before his time at St. Mary's University, 2015 to 2019. Somebody returned to play for the Kings in 2020 and featured in the grand final in his rookie season. In 2021, he led Sydney in total rebounds and was runner-up in the league's most improved player award.
Big Geordie Hunter.
Big Geordie Hunter it is indeed. It's a gorgeous flowing beard that he's got going there too.
Yeah.
All right. Next card. Somebody scored more points than any other Taipan in NBL 22, including a career best 30 points in the final game versus Brisbane. In all six NBL seasons to date, somebody has increased his scoring and enters NBL 23 as Taipan's most experienced player. A junior at Forestville in Adelaide, he was All Sun Belt first team in 2016, whilst a senior at University of Louisiana, Monroe.
Oh, God. 6 years playing in the NBL. Is an Aussie. Is it Pinder? It's got to be Pinder, right?
It's not Pinder.
Who am I missing?
Think Logan Thunder.
Think what?
Logan Thunder.
Majok Dang. Dang.
Indeed. Dang.
Yeah. There we go.
I'm going to pop that one in the difficult column. But, yeah. Quite a nice little card there. Nice little card.
Wish I knew a bit more of the college ones that we've been to, so. Missing a little bit on the Aussie guys going to college.
Yeah, but it is nice that they've done the research and put that stuff in. So.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
All right, next card. Card number five, I do apologize. Somebody signed his first NBL contract after being named MVP of the Darwin Salties in the NBL 1 North. Do I need to keep going?
It's Malakwatch.
Yeah, indeed it is. He was...
He signed after absolutely baptizing someone. That's when he signed.
Yep, the dunk.
Yeah.
And is now with the Kings this season.
He'll, hopefully, he gets a bit more burn than he did last year.
But nice little rookie card there. So might hold on to it and maybe try and get it signed. Maybe we'll see how we go.
Yeah, well, you got a chance.
Indeed, always a chance.
They'll be in Brizzy this year, I'd say, if he's back on Darwin.
For sure. All right, we've got three left. After growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, somebody attended Big Ten's Northwestern University 2015-2019, where he finished as the school's best ever field goal shooter with 60.3% and second highest shot blocker, and helped earn the school's first ever NCAA tournament berth. The power forward joins the Breakers after European stints in Israel, Germany, and Italy.
I assume it's Derek Pardon.
Excuse you. Yes, it is. Derek Pardon. All right. Two cards left, mate. Didn't even need any clues for that one. No. Had him ready. You'd already mentioned him
in
the show.
That was my guy. So.
Exactly. All right. Somebody grew up in Mareeba, North Queensland, before attending Washington State University. After a three-year European stint, somebody signed with the Spurs in 2013, which began a nine-year career and 576 games in the top U.S. Pro League, including a championship with San Antonio.
The old Bainesy.
Bainesy, it is indeed. There's the ginger beard wearing that number 12 jersey. All right, excuse me. Last card. Oh, and it's an absolute banger card, this one. It's an absolute banger of a card.
Ooh, here we go.
Somebody is the captain of the Bullets.
Oh, is it me?
Yeah, I had clues for days. I didn't think you'd need them.
I mean, we got pretty far into the card.
It's Jace Cadee there on that one, obviously.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a nice one. It doesn't have the same beard game quite as Aaron Baines does, but it's his own look.
I mean, he's trying his best.
Oh, he is.
I feel like you could definitely get that one signed.
Oh, look, I'm sitting around Jason Cadee signed. Don't get me wrong, you can never have enough Jason Cadee signed merch. but I'm literally here in Studio 3. What have we got now? We've got two signed jerseys and at least one card. I've got a feeling there might be a second card around here somewhere. But yeah, you can never have enough. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. Great friend of the show. definitely could get that signed. I'm sure. But we'll have to put that one aside. And don't know. It's tempting. Maybe we get that one graded. Maybe we get that one graded or signed and graded. There you go. Boom. Let's go for that. For the lovely people at Platinum Standard Grading. But mate, let's call it 7-1. 7-1, I think is fair on that one. Not a bad run. Not a bad pack from the amazing guys down at local card shop of Woolloongabba and, of course, Mermaid Beach. Thanks again to Rob and the team down there. And, mate, thank you for joining us once more.
Mate, it's my pleasure. It was a lot of fun, especially getting to get some of the NBL guys and the guys that we get to play against here in the NBL one.
Yeah, I've done it now with I've done a couple of these NBL packs. And there's surprisingly a high amount of NBL 1 North players that have cropped up so far, which is handy.
But it's a talented league up here.
So. Oh, wildly. But, all right, mate. Thanks again for joining us. That will bring show number 138 to an end. Huge thank you.
You're racking up the numbers.
Oh, mate, racking them up. They're all, of course, instant bangers, Great hits straight off the bat, but 138 is the number we're up to so far. And huge thank you, of course, to PCR Maps and local card shop of Woolloongabba. If you are on the socials, please do give us those likes, follows, and shares. If you are listening on a podcast service that allows 5-star reviews, please do go ahead and give us that review. That sort of stuff really does help. I believe we're now up to 37 international countries have now tuned in. That stuff really comes off the back of those 5-star reviews. So thank you to everyone who's already done that or those who are about to. But that's going to bring us to an end here. So until you're listening to us here again, just remember, that ball don't lie.
It never does.